Hello and welcome back to Second Take Movies, a podcast where we give movies a second look, second chance, second take, if you will. I'm your host, Preston Jenkinson, and joining me, as always, it's my co-host, Jake Twido.
Yeah, this movie sucks.
No, it doesn't. This movie's good.
I don't know, man. I don't know. There's some trash writing all over this thing.
It's not the best, but I will defend this till the day I die.
It's got some good cinematography. It's got some really good actors at waist.
It's a very well-made movie. There is some writing problems in it that I don't 100% love, but
yeah, I think that's my problem. I don't hate it. I don't like it though. But
Rian Johnson knows what he's doing. Like,
that's what kills me, is this should have been so much better.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite, dude. Brick is probably one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen it. It is one of my he did Brick, right? Or am I really?
I think he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Brick, Brothers Bloom, and then Looper.
Mm-hmm.
Brick, it was the first thing I ever saw him do, and I'm like, this guy gets it.
Yeah.
He didn't get it in this movie, I feel like, man.
I will say Star Wars is probably not the thing to take a risk with. No. Yeah.
And I get his premise of, like, yeah, the ending, it's his love letter to Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it is.
And yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I'm also trying not to be a cranky person of, like, you wasted Luke Skywalker. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's what the nitpicky people say.
Well, I wish they should have gone harder.
Yeah.
Get rid of all the old people. Get rid of all these characters. Brand new characters in this movie. Forget it. Sorry, hey, man. You probably need to actually get into, like, you know, what this movie is, positives, negatives.
like we did last week, we'll do the opening crawl. Pretend the music is added here, which it will be in post, right?
I will not hum it. I will not.
Here. The First Order reigns. Having decimated the peaceful Republic, Supreme Leader Snoke now deploys his merciless legions to seize military control of the galaxy. Only General Leia Organa's band of resistance fighters stand against the rising tyranny, certain that Jedi Master Luke Skywalker will return and restore a spark of hope to the fight. But the resistance has been exposed. As the First Order speeds toward the rebel base, the brave heroes mount a desperate escape.
No. No. Here's what the crawl actually said. We've got like 12 movies happening at the same time. Not really connected. No real connected thing any.
Yeah.
Hey, we're Star Wars.
And that's my biggest problem with this sequel series as a whole, is no one planned out a beginning to end and stuck with it.
No. This one is the, like, what is this movie? It's the stepchild of the three.
Yeah, I still think it's good, though. I feel like it's good.
There are parts that I really like. That's my positive spin.
Yeah. And speaking of which, we have positive and negative reviews. The positive from Josh Yeel at IGN. Star Wars and the Last Jedi is a quintessential Star Wars movie. It embraces everything in the franchise that came before while taking big risks to push the story into new and unexpected places.
Yeah.
It does that.
It does, yeah.
The negative from Roger Moore at Movie Nation. Intentions and inspiration aside, Last Jedi doesn't add up to an Empire Strikes Back for the trilogy. There's no romance, little pathos, and no real punch-in-the-gut moment. Its emotionally sterile tone was set with The Force Awakens, and that's proven hard to shake. New innovations and plot twist aside.
I know, like, AI didn't exist as it does today at this point, but I feel like AI wrote this script. I mean, like, the jokes even, I could just go ahead and hop straight into it. The opening scene,
mm-hmm.
which again, I laughed. It was cool, but the whole showdown with Poe making jokes of "I'm on hold."
Well, he's stalling. Like, he's stalling in that moment.
Yeah, no, it was perfect. But I don't know. I guess I am being a grumpy Star Wars person. I was just like, man, this is lame.
I feel like it goes on a little bit too long, but like that's the whole point of that scene is that he's stalling for whatever it is, like I guess that engine or whatever to charge up so he can blow through there.
I think that's my problem right there is a lot of this movie, it goes on too long. It's great you're doing these new things. It's just like, all right, you really like, you know, next gen, the humor, I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm already fighting myself on it. I'm like, yeah, but I kind of like that, but then I don't.
Yeah.
But it starts off with they're abandoning a base.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody pops in, and you got the old dreadnought.
Because it picks up.
That whole sequence is great.
It picks up right after The Force Awakens.
Is that okay? I had a hard time figuring out how close it picked up.
It's like almost immediately after. Because. Okay. Rey has gone to Octu to find Luke, and everybody else in the Resistance is at that base, and they're evacuating.
That is the same base. You're right. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So Poe's plan is to take out the surface cannons so that the bombers can come through and take out that dreadnought. But that's his whole arc in this movie is learning how to be a leader, and Leia's like, hey, I know you just took out those cannons, but we need to get out of here. Like, we've got everybody. We need to go. And his
you don't always get to take out a dreadnought.
Right. And his thing is, like, we only have one chance to take out this thing. And they do. But in the process, they lose a lot of people. And that's Leia's point is, like, yes, you did. But, like, we lost a lot of people in the process.
Dude, that... Him piloting that X-Wing, they really took up stuff a notch. The physics
Yeah. Like him, like...
I mean, like, he does the whip-around move.
Oh, my, so great.
The first time I saw it, I didn't catch it. I watched it and rewound it, and I went, whoa. Like, that was cool. There's a lot of really cool stuff in this movie. Stuff like that, where I'm like, daggum, that was dope.
And, like, people have a problem with, like, the bombs dropping in space, and it's like, dude, this is... a fantasy movie. Like, we've got ships whipping around. Like, that
Hey,
that's,
nerd, your mom says your bega bites are ready. Go upstairs.
When people like, don't like a movie, they start nitpicking like that. And it's like, oh, the drums. Like, it's a different galaxy. We've got ships that are whipping around. Like, calm down.
Let's be honest, Preston. The world's flat. NASA sends rockets to Cuba. There's no such thing as space anyway. It's all fiction.
Yeah. I just feel this movie is too criticized. Like,
I do too. And I'm going to hate it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to hate it the entire rest of this podcast. It's a weird thing, man. Like, the prequels, I feel like, have kind of come back around. People are okay with them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, everyone hated them.
I still hate Attack of the Clones. There's nothing that will convince me that Attack of the Clones is a good movie.
Yeah, I may have just made that comment, but that movie is garbage.
I can sit through The Phantom Menace, and I actually legitimately like Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. But it's a curse. Like, J.J. Abrams, we talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. It's formulaic. It was the same movie.
Mm-hmm. And kinda. Ryan Johnson took risks with this movie, and he showed us stuff and stuff, and everything he did had to go through like 50 different people above him.
No, Kathleen Kennedy can suck it. yeah, I don't know.
We know the sentence I'm going to say with Kathleen Kennedy is everything you love and everything you hate about current Star Wars had to go through her, so she's responsible for both.
You'd be prepared to cut this, but to me, this is a lot of like political movie.
Eh.
Not like politics in movies, but like, we're going to do this scene because it's going to look good for this. Like,
yeah, I feel that happens more in the third movie than this one.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the beginning.
Like, yeah.
It picks up big time.
But once Poe clears out these cannons, these bombers come through, and we do lose a lot of people. Like, we lose almost all those bombers and all those people in those bombers, and particularly one person who's related to someone else later on in the movie.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after that, Poe makes it back onto a ship, and they jump to light speed somewhere else.
Light speed, Preston? It's hyperspace, oh, you loser.
Excuse me.
Not to get some same. I don't know.
One's Star Wars and one is Star Trek. They both look the same. J.J. Abrams.
Everyone's got 20 ears.
Was involved with both. So.
I did love. They jump to hyperspace. It's like, we're good. And then they pop back up.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, that's smart. That's cool. Like. They tracked them through this. Like, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
Panic. They never played off the panic in this movie. The, like, we're getting chased. I know there's a ticking timer.
Yeah, but, like...
They had so many weird side things happening of, like, you... I don't know. You had your conflict, and you didn't...
But in the middle of all this, Rey has gone, and she has found Luke from the last movie because they decoded that map. And she has gone to hand him his father's lightsaber, which I never call that Luke's lightsaber. I would say the one that he had in The Last Jedi is his lightsaber.
Yeah, green one's his all the way.
Yeah. So she hands him his father's lightsaber. And this is the point where a lot of people have problems. He chucks it over the shoulder. And he's like, I'm done.
Mark Hamill... like read the script and was like, this is the worst thing in the world. You've destroyed this. But you know what? Mark Hamill's an adult. Mark Hamill said, my job's to do this. I'm doing it.
My job is
he did exactly what he was supposed
play
to do.
The character. And even though he disagreed with it, he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Because he is Luke Skywalker.
That was my second watch. I went, you know, I can really respect Mark Hamill a lot more of he didn't like it. Sucked it up.
Yep.
He did it. And he was vocal a little bit of how he felt about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was like, man, he did a great job.
But
he sold it.
I completely agree with how they treated Luke in this movie. Because you're not going to be the optimistic kid you were at 19 and still act the same way in your 60s after you failed by trying to rebuild the Jedi Order.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You're going to feel like, hey... the Jedi don't work. So, like, let's screw this. I'm done.
I just love, though, like, kill the Jedi. And then, guess what? We retcon it in the end. Anyway.
Well,
took the book.
He comes to realize in the end that people, like, he doesn't necessarily believe in the Jedi, but he realizes... to inspire the rest of the resistance that he needs to become the legend Luke Skywalker and face down the First Order by himself. But that's for later in the movie.
We'll call that. Yeah, we'll get that.
Yeah.
So we now get Kylo Ren coming in on the TIE fighter.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go fight. Preston, I want to just tell you, that was rad. Him piling that thing was sweet.
Oh, like, it shows then, why he's Han Solo's son. Like, he's...
Yeah, it was great.
He's a great pilot, of course.
I completely forgot. I was like, oh, shoot, yeah, it's Han Solo's kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do this. But,
he can't kill his mama, though.
No, but she gets blown up and turns into Superman.
Well, she pulled... like, at least we get to see Leia use the Force at all in Star Wars.
This is the lamest thing I've ever seen.
She just pulled herself back to the ship. I agree, it's not the great. It's not the greatest visually, but we get to see her use the Force at least somewhat in these movies.
Yeah. All right, I'll be nice and bold on that. Yeah,
I'm not saying it's the best representation of it.
Stupid.
It was silly.
When I saw it in the theaters, this guy, sitting like four seats down from me goes, "What the hell is a shit?" I lost it, man. I had a more fun time laughing at him.
Yeah,
making comment, but.
Is the right thing to let her die in that scene? I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude, blow her up. Kill them. Here's my take. Rian Johnson, kill them all. Kill all of them.
Yeah.
Just end it. Like, I don't know. And also I'm coming at this from, I can't remember when Mandalorian dropped.
2020.
Okay. So I'm coming at it from this isn't a Skywalker story. This isn't this thing. I like it a lot more. I don't care.
The first season of The Mandalorian, I was like, oh, this is great. It has nothing to do with the main saga. Yeah. It's completely new characters. Let's go. That's what I want from Star Wars from now on. Give me new characters, nothing. And that's the problem with The Mandalorian in the third season, is they tried to go too familiar with stuff. Like bringing back Boba Fett and all that.
I just feel like this movie fails, but it hurts itself of, we have all these things we need to connect to. Like, screw that, dude. Just go crazy.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to, like, you know, Rian Johnson, you want to change this, dude, yeah, go wild. Go bonkers.
Yeah.
But it's like you are so close to changing so much, but then you're afraid some.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So Leia survives. She flows through space.
And Laura Dern shows up to ruin the movie.
What? No. Her character was never given anything about Poe ever to trust him, because even Leia demoted him before Laura Dern got in charge. So she's like, I don't know this guy. I'm not going to trust him. I'm going to go ahead with my plan, and it was Leia's plan to begin with. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
So she's like, this guy has done nothing but not listen to Leia, so I'm not even going to give him no mind. So that a lot of people had a problem with, why didn't Holdo tell Poe her plan or whatever? It's like, she doesn't owe him an explanation. She's in charge. She's an admiral. He's a captain. And there was like a suspicion of a spy on board the ship. And also, he sends Finn and Rose off on a mission by himself. So obviously, he's not meant to be in charge at this point.
Who's Rose? Sorry.
Probably a very nice young lady who was bullied off of Twitter after this movie.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, 100%. She's not on Twitter anymore. It's done.
Like,
not her fault. Hey, again, just like Mark Hamill.
Exactly.
She played the role. That was her job. Like,
let's bully an actor for some choices that some executives made, or someone else made. And that she was just doing the best she could as someone who was playing the role. Let's bully her and be racist towards her.
Oh, heck yeah. Is that what we're going to do now on the podcast?
No.
Yeah, but it sucks, though, because this is also where I'm like, John Boyega.
John Boyega's great, man. He's the best. Like, he is.
But this his is character, where the franchise starts to screw him over.
Well, you know, Disney had to sell this to China, and China's not the best at liking black people. So,
wait, what?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he sat down with Disney at the end of all of this and was like, "I'm never coming back." And Disney was like, "Well, let's, you know, and we'll do this and we'll do this to make sure." And so, yeah, they cut out a lot of stuff for China.
That's what I love about Disney. It's kind of like Apple, you know?
They'll mess up in the beginning, but then maybe they'll come around.
Well, we'll use slave labor to make our phones while people kill themselves.
Exactly.
Doing it, but
exactly.
We're a good company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to save these animals and tell everyone that rich people suck at casinos, but blacks
for the right audience.
Yeah, if you're paying, we love. Yeah,
you have two women kissing at the end of your movie, but we're gonna make it so we can cut it out real easy for a certain audience.
Wait, there's naked women in this movie kissing?
No, that's the end of the third movie. They have two women kissing, and then they cut it out for Chinese audiences. Yeah.
I'm thinking it's way off. But yeah, but so we got that, but then we're also jumping back to Rey,
yes,
who has gotten R2-D2 to encourage Luke, gotten Chewbacca to encourage Luke.
That was a great scene when Luke goes on to the Millennium Falcon. He's like, that's the first time he lights up in this movie is when he sees R2. And it's great.
It broke my heart though, because I'm like, whatever. You got your map, but like, I wanted to see more of that character.
Yeah,
I wanted to see more of that Happy. Just like, same thing when Han Solo and Chewbacca came on in the first one.
Mm.
You know, it's the same feeling of like good for you for doing something different, but you also just rip this whole thing. Yeah.
I'm kind of like you. I wish they had reunited Han Solo and Luke and Leia all at the same time.
I don't care if it's just to watch one of them die.
Yeah.
Like, that one, give me that one little thing.
I wish we could have gotten all three of them together in one movie.
Dude, what's wild is this whole trilogy sucks because the main three, they're never together.
Never.
Never.
We get Luke and
meet for the first time in this.
We get Luke and Leia together, but that's about it.
Yeah, but you can't touch them and kiss them.
Well, they're brother and sister, dude.
Dude, but they were totally tongue raping each other in that one movie. Sorry. I'll lose track on the island.
Okay.
She goes and sits on the rock at this point.
Yep.
And she goes straight to the darkness. You didn't even hesitate.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't tell her anything, dude. Like,
well, my favorite line in this movie is the Force doesn't belong to the Jedi and anything else is arrogance. Like, I love that quote because to think that, like, because the Force is all about balance. It doesn't take a side. It's not good. It's not bad. There's balance. And that's what the Jedi should... That's an example of what the Jedi should have been, is about balance instead of just like that
light,
narrow view that they had in the prequels.
Which, like, I guess it's not canon anymore. I didn't read all the... Did you read all the books?
Not all of them.
I mean, like, Luke Skywalker is gray, right? He's not light or dark in the end.
Well, even in the movies, he's not light or dark because...
Yeah, it's true.
In Empire Strikes Back, he's wearing gray and he goes after Darth Vader out of personal feelings, and then in Return of the Jedi, he's choking out those two pig guards at Jabba's palace.
Oh, he's choking them out, all right. He loves it.
He totally takes on the dark side after Darth Vader threatens Leia at the end of Return of the Jedi and just like goes after him, and like when he's chopping his hand off, like he's channeling into the dark side. Absolutely.
Well, and that kind of connects here. I know I'm getting out of order. It's just so hard because the bouncing around of the story screws it up.
Like I said, this movie is not perfect. This movie bounces around a lot.
You know what they should have done? They should have flat out done Axe. They should have done Where with Rey and Luke for 30 minutes.
Yes.
That act closed. Like, that would have made this more consistent, I feel like.
Do Rey and Luke... Rey and Luke, and then do Finn and Rose, and then end with everybody's stories coming together.
Yeah.
When that ship explodes at the end.
That's probably the greatest daggum scene. That frame, we'll get there. But so she starts connecting with Kylo at this point, right?
Yes. They get connected together through the. And what I feel like should have happened. Knowing the whole story, if you want to go with that they're a dyad in the Force and that the two of them bring balance as a dyad in the Force, let the Force naturally bring them together and not like Snoke or Palpatine opening that doorway, that whatever that is with between them.
I think Snoke thinks he did it.
Yeah,
or Palpatine.
Let them think they did it, but it was actually just the Force itself bringing balance to everything. Because that's what the Force is. That's what Obi-Wan told me in A New Hope was. It's a energy field. It surrounds all living things. You know, it's not midichlorians. It's not something else.
Mitochondria.
Exactly. It's balance in the universe.
I don't know, man. There's a whole lot of bullcrap on that island. I'm not gonna lie.
It's the site of the first Jedi temple. It's where the Jedi came from. So, I have no problem with it being strong in the Force, and like there's a dark pit and also light in it, and it's the same thing as Luke walking into that tree on Dagobah in Empire Strikes Back.
Which, again, I can knock this movie hard all day. The cinematography is great.
It's awesome.
That's one thing I'm not going to knock. It is so good, especially when she goes down into the dark hole, the butthole of the island.
And she does that snapping thing. And the
physics are perfect.
I love the idea that she came from nowhere. She's not related to anyone.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. And then the next movie happens.
Let's keep that.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and open the back of your shirt and let someone take a dump down your neck.
I'm going to send you a video this week that is like study for next week about what the third movie was going to be.
All right.
It's so much better than what we got.
Didn't you say it was Shadow of the Empire?
Well, no, it's called Duel of the Fates. Like the script was leaked online shortly after the third movie came out.
Whose script is that?
It was Colin Trevorrow.
God, I forgot he was going to do that.
Like, it starts with, like, the heist of a Star Destroyer in the beginning, and Poe and Rey were going to fall in love, and...
Why did he get removed from this?
Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, jerk. Thank you.
It's everyone's favorite scapegoat. It's Kathleen Kennedy. But they did a lot of damage control after Last Jedi when they... Everyone had their problems, quote unquote, with it. So Rey and Luke are doing all this training on the island. He explains to her what the Force actually is. She goes in this dark pit and learns that she might have came from nowhere. We don't know. It's always that's the biggest problem throughout this whole trilogy is they treated her past with way too much mystery as something that was to be solved.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the big problem with her origin. Meanwhile, Finn and Rose are on the stupidest mission.
It is so dumb.
I hate Canto Bight.
There's nothing cool. There's nothing.
No.
Benicio del Toro is a waste in this movie.
It's a waste of Benicio del Toro and Justin Theroux. It's a waste of both of them.
I get this is the only part where I'm like, again, I don't like this movie.
Yeah.
This is the only part I'm like, this is stupid. Like,
this is the only part of the movie that I fast forward through is these parts.
But like Benicio del Toro is incredible. He's on there, and I'm like, I love this. This is great.
Yeah,
you did nothing good. You did nothing.
No,
I remember they announced he's in this movie, and I went, "Oh, this is going to be the best Star Wars ever made. This is going to be the one."
But I do like the messaging of, "Hey, these guys sold like these arms dealers sold to both the Resistance and the First Order."
Yeah, that scene was great. Oh, what is this?
I feel like there's a better way to communicate that, but I mean, you had what you had. So they've ended up in jail and they get out and blah blah blah. They run some horse dogs through the town and mess up Vegas, basically.
Yeah, I didn't see any girls with titties out, so this isn't a good Vegas. No one was giving me playing cards with naked women on it.
Exactly.
I ain't wanting to be a part of this movie.
And but the other story we have going on is back on the ship. Leia's passed out. Finn is not trusting of Admiral Holdo. And he's again, he's proven he's not trustworthy as a leader because he sent two dum-dums off to Space Vegas to because they figured out that the First Order can track them through light speed, and that's why they sent he sent Finn and Rose off to find a master codebreaker to break onto the ship to break that down. But he also doesn't know that Admiral Holdo has a plan to get them to the planet Crate with transports, because they're not scanning for transports, they're scanning for big ships. But
I love a good plot in a movie that's destroyed just because people don't talk.
Well, the reason she doesn't talk to him is because she doesn't trust him. He's untrustworthy. Like, she is totally justified in not trusting him. And even in our military, like, the admiral doesn't have to explain to a captain why they're doing something.
Same time, Rey at this point has gotten on Snoke's ship.
Yes, she leaves. She's connected with Kylo Ren a few times, and she's gotten the story that Luke saw. Like, I'm an apologist for this movie. Luke has seen what Kylo's been tempted by Snoke at this point, and he's seen the darkness in him, and he's seen what that darkness can happen with his dad, and he's like, I'm not going to let that happen again. And he's like, for a fleeting moment, I thought about killing him, but then I stopped because, hey, he's my nephew. I probably don't need to kill my nephew. But
should have done it. It'd been a sick movie.
Kylo woke up, and so Kylo destroyed his school. So Rey's like, Rey is adamant that she can convince him to come back. She can redeem Kylo, and that they can take down the First Order together. So she, after she's communicated with Kylo a couple times through the Force, and so she takes off. After a really good scene between her and Luke, like, Luke has cut himself off from the Force, but once he gets attacked, he's snapping antennas and fighting with Rey with her stick and using the Force to stop himself from falling on the stairs.
Preston, let me ask you something stupid, random.
Go for
it. Why in the world didn't they give her a double-edged lightsaber?
Dude, in the third one, they were gonna...
I mean, like, she has a bow staff the whole... I don't know.
That, okay. Like, as soon as I saw her with the staff in the first movie, I'm like, okay, by the end of this trilogy, she's going to have the double-bladed thing.
Yep.
And that is great. What was going to happen in the original script for the third movie. She was going to have a double-bladed lightsaber made out of her staff. But, yeah.
So, anyways...
Yeah.
You don't hear, she gets, I'm going to bring it down even worse. Snoke, what a useless turd of a character.
I feel like Kylo Ren was the original ultimate bad of these movies. Like, he was supposed to be like the, he was supposed to just get darker and darker through these movies. And Snoke was just like, whatever. Like,
what is Snoke? What is he? I
exactly.
No idea.
What are the Knights of Ren? I feel like we should have gotten more of that as well.
Man, they could. Yeah, see, I'm getting. Yeah, the movie sucks. They could have done better.
It doesn't suck.
I mean, like, the whole sequence. It's a cool sequence coming up. The whole fight thing of.
Well, if you watch it, it's
clever. It's awful.
If you watch,
all the stunts are awful. They're awful.
Yeah, because Corridor did a stuntman react, and if you watch it, there's like a couple of those guys that like stop and like go around and get in line and try to fight again, and you can't unsee it once you've been shown.
Nope.
That
ruined it. I was like, oh yeah, this lightsaber fight's coming up. This is gonna be.
Yeah, but like other than that, like, it's very well choreographed and planned out.
Well, that's happening.
Yeah.
And at the meantime, they're breaking into the joint.
Finn and Rose break in, and they get to the light speed tracker.
And you get caught.
Yep. And then...
even better, the boy sells them out.
Yeah, because he heard the transmission between Poe and Finn about fueling up the transports and going down to the planet Crate. Because Leia's woken up since then, because Luke communicated through the Force with her. And so now, like, Rey is on the ship in Snoke's chamber, seeing the resistance getting blown up. Finn and Rose are on the ship and they're captured. And then the resistance is slowly dwindling with his ships. And everyone else has abandoned the main ship except for Holdo. And so she turns the ship around, and in one of the,
oh, it's rad.
It's one of the best moments in Star Wars.
It's breathtaking. That moment of no sound. It's perfect.
When I saw it in a theater, everyone was quiet.
Yeah. Like, no gasp, nothing. It was just...
it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And she sets a light-speed course and just blows through the First Order fleet with the ship.
Yeah, that was straight money.
Which a lot of people have problems with. I'm like, dude, it's fiction. It's about space wizards with laser swords. Calm down.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to wear a bra in space. So... That's a George Lucas quote. I didn't come up with it, okay?
Hey, you know, George Lucas was super horny in the 70s. The Resistance makes it down to the planet Crate. Yes, where there's an old Rebel base.
Ah, man. Again, and that, cinematography.
The whole thing, like, with Leia looking out the gate with that coat over her face, and like, it looks awesome. Finn and Rose make it off the, because BB-8 takes over a walker and blows up a lot of people, and they make it onto a ship.
Phasma died, by the way, if you cared.
Phasma's here. Yes. Yeah, like, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. The old busted up speeders they have, they're going to go fight all the First Order showing up.
I feel like let Finn make that sacrifice.
They should have killed him. They should have let him die.
It's the stupidest line I've ever heard. The only way we're going to win is by defending what we love versus fighting what... It's the same thing. Defending what we love is fighting what we hate.
Pretty sure World War II was won by hate, not love. Tossing it out there. Those Nazis did not stand it.
Fighting for what we love is the same, or defending what we love is the same as fighting what we hate. It's the same thing.
I swear, that girl better not be on Twitter.
It's not her fault. It's what she was given.
Rainn Johnson.
I hate that line so much. And then she kisses him for no reason.
Yeah, and you don't, never mind. Yeah. Caught that one. You don't have to edit this one out, Preston.
You just saw Jake edit himself instantly.
Yeah, it's this side caught the edit.
Yes.
It's not moving as fast. Yeah. So we're good.
Yeah.
But as much
as I defend this movie, that's the moment I hate the most in it.
But then Luke shows up.
Oh yeah. That's the best moment.
It is. But you know what sucks, Preston? Could have had a lot more of that. The fight scene. I mean, like, he gets blasted. He's there. He's getting shot.
Yeah.
You never see his feet. I get it. You know, you don't see his feet.
Well, they show his feet, but it doesn't scrape the surface like someone that's actually there.
I love them. He gets hosed. He's perfect. Kylo Ren comes to fight him. That fight scene, like, you never get, like, the whole time, we've never seen Luke Skywalker fight. We've never seen him just go crazy.
Yeah.
And him, like, acrobating around and stuff. I was like, dude, this is the best. Why didn't we have a whole movie with this? Like, why do we have to have all this dumb exposition?
It needed to show that Luke Skywalker was done with the Jedi, but by the end of this movie, he realized that the Resistance needed the legend of Luke Skywalker as an inspiration instead of what he wanted. And we haven't even touched the best moment in this whole movie is
Yoda
showing up when he goes to burn down the old tree. And I'm like, oh my God, he has the best line. Our legacy is what, or something to the effect of our legacy is what they become as masters. And I'm like, oh. And it's Papa Yoda too. It's like a real Yoda.
Puppet Yoda setting that thing on fire and laughing was probably the greatest.
Yes. We are what they become. And I'm like, oh, that's great. I love it. There, you can't convince me otherwise. It's the greatest.
Yeah, you know, but you don't want to win them by loving them. You want to win them by hating them.
But so. Luke Skywalker shows how powerful he is by projecting himself all the way across the galaxy to Crate.
Yeah.
Like, what else do you need?
A couple more lightsaber fights.
Well, he has a... I would say that's a... like, that shot between when they're about to fight, like that old Japanese cinema shot of...
Yeah, that was great.
Two people about to fight with swords across from each other. It's great. It's awesome.
So, in the meantime, Rey's showing up with the Millennium Falcon...
Of course, and it's awesome. Like, all you need in that, like, when it shows up, all you see is the shadow, and you immediately know that's the Falcon.
Yeah.
It's right there.
She's helping them clear the way out. The little crystal monsters,
Those
were great. That was good character design.
Like, yeah, and Porgs, too. How great are Porgs?
Yeah, they're pretty daggum good.
Like, Chewbacca's about to eat one. It is a sad little one. Just eat it, dude.
So, yeah, Luke dies. Wuss.
Okay.
Fades away.
He dies in the midst of two suns. There's two suns in the sky. And then he fades away into the Force.
Preston, I don't know if you're aware, but there's only one sun. And it stays in the same place all the time. The world
on
is
our
not.
On our planet, yes. But
yeah, thank you. It is flat. Thank
on
you.
On this one, not so much.
Was that a throwaway to Tatooine? Why they had the two suns?
Yes, it was like a reference to like the first time we saw Luke, he's looking out at two suns, wondering what he can become, and then he ends his life in the midst of two suns as well.
Well, guess what? We all escape and we're all happy.
Exactly.
And now the resistance
because we're,
can start again.
We're the spark that's going to light the fire that's going to burn the First Order down.
Yeah.
I don't hate that line. Crap. It's pretty good. I like it. It's very inspirational. It's better than somehow Palpatine returned.
I don't even talk about it.
I don't want to talk about next
week. Happen between now and then, and I hope that Santa brings me like a... Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah, because next week it's not going to be as optimistic as this week.
Don't worry, this movie it doesn't end yet. You get the shot of the stable hand using the Force.
Exactly. The Force can come from anyone. Anyone can be a Jedi. That's the point.
That's where I went, you know what? This meant a lot to Rian Johnson doing this.
He did.
That's awesome. And I really thought about it. I mean, you know, like if I had the opportunity to do Star Wars, like how awesome would that be?
Yes.
And like he did it. I disagree with a lot of it. He did it, and then he did his own, like, hey, when I was little, I wanted to be a Jedi.
Exactly.
And I put it in the movie.
And so. He felt like anyone could be a Jedi, and that was the point of Rey, is that she came from nowhere, and she's a Jedi.
Yeah, and then J.J. Abrams came and
did it. So-called damage control and ruined everything. But for now, I like this movie. It's a good 8.5. Again, it's a good 8.5 for me this week.
It's a 6.1 for me. I'm not gonna lie.
Hey, that's you know.
I get it. It's not for me. I got problems with it, but
I love what they did with the character of Luke Skywalker. I know not everyone agrees with that, but I love it.
I just wish they went harder.
It's not the best. Like I still feel like The Force Awakens is better than this.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I love that Rian Johnson took risks with this movie, and he took a chance with storytelling, and I like it.
Well, make sure you send me the video for next week's homework.
I will, because we might go into that more than what actually happened in The Rise of Skywalker.
weren't Phil Lord and Chris Miller?
They were working on the Han Solo movie.
Okay.
And then Lawrence Kasdan got mad because they did a lot of improv instead of following his script to the letter.
I mean, like, why would you hire Phil Lord and Chris
Miller?
That's
what I said. But I still like that Solo movie. We might do that one day. We might cover that movie one day because I like that movie.
I like that Solo movie way better than any of these three.
Even with how much they reshot that movie, we might do Rogue One and that one because I think Rogue One is the best looking Star Wars movie there is.
100%.
Yeah.
And not just because of the ending.
Yeah. So that's it. We finally did The Last Jedi. I got a lot of stuff off my chest. That was the main purpose of this episode was for me to get a lot of that out there and
now Preston can sleep.
Exactly. So now we move on to what we watch and reading, playing, stuff like that.
Nothing really. I bought the Solo series, the books.
Okay.
So it should come in later this week.
Oh, you're gonna actually like physical books? You're gonna read them?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a psychopath. I like filling paper.
See, I have to listen because I can't comprehend by sitting there reading. So,
well, I don't know, man. I used to be able to read a ton. I just don't have as much time anymore, so it sucks. But
yeah,
so I'm sure I will fold on it. Yeah. Honestly, man, that's it. You know, watch Die Hard, watch Home Alone.
There you go.
Ready for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie, but yeah.
But it's great. It's great.
It's a great movie. I am going to watch Oppenheimer tonight after we leave this.
Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
I watched Interstellar and Tenet today since I'm on break to get ready for it, just to get in my Christopher Nolan mode. I'm excited.
I think it might be his best.
I hope it is.
But I love Oppenheimer. I love
Christopher Nolan. I will watch anything he does, and I will watch anything Jonathan Nolan writes.
There are so many scenes where I don't understand how people didn't get more awards or anything.
Right.
Aren't. I mean, like, it... Yeah.
Yeah. I started a series today on Hulu called Class of 09. It's about a group of FBI people that graduated... FBI school in 09, and it follows them through the present day in 2023 and then in the future of 2034. It's very interesting. I'm on the third episode so far.
Reacher is what I'm watching.
I've watched the first three episodes of Reacher. Love it.
Yeah.
Even though it's dad TV, it's the best.
Oh, I'm down. I need a dang son.
What else? Oh, I'm playing Death Stranded again, the PS5 remastered version, the director's cut.
I need to play that game.
It's super weird.
Especially because they're making a movie.
Yeah. The A24, that kind of leaked, but I hope Hideo Kojima gets to direct it.
Yeah.
Because that's ultimately what he wants to do is direct a movie. Let the poor man direct a movie.
Which reminds me, where's the Metal Gear Solid movie?
Joan Voight Roberts is working on that, the director of Kong Skull Island.
And Oscar Isaac is Snake.
Yes.
I'm down with it.
Tom Hardy was also attached at one point. Maybe they're both in it. I don't know.
I've heard Adam Sandler is in it.
Okay.
I don't know. Sorry. That brain's not connecting. Just ignore what I just said.
I saw a new teaser this week called Spaceman with him in it that looks like a science fiction drama, which he's due for another drama because he's a great dramatic actor.
Have you seen Uncut Gems yet?
I have not. I need to watch that. I need to watch it.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Yeah. It looks really good. So, that's finally The Last Jedi. I got that off my chest. I feel like the next week we're probably going to dump on Rise of Skywalker a lot.
Yeah, it's not gonna. It's gonna be a great 100th episode.
I've got some messages from people that helped get the podcast to where it is today that were originally guests on the podcast. I've got a few of those. Not everybody, but a few. Jake was supposed to collect some from his wife and some other people. We'll see if he does that.
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Okay.
I remembered.
Yeah, good. So we'll see you next week for that. If you have a suggestion for a movie we should do, you can send that to secondtakemoviespod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at secondtakemovies. Like I said, next week is Rise of Skywalker. Jake, you got any parting words for us?
I might crap my pants.
You might crap your pants. And yeah, everyone
not
else
even a joke.
Should too. So we'll see you next week for the Rise of Skywalker.